We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You know we are close to football season when we say hello again to Brian Baldinger all over NFL Network, Fox Sports, Compass Media, and especially your Twitter account when he is breaking down film the very next day. Brian Baldinger back with us every Friday. I believe this is a routine thing once again, and for that, we're very thankful here on Damon Ratto and Kolsky. Baldy, how are you, pal?
Damon, Happy New Year, basically. It feels like it.
Sure.
Good to join you, man. I'm looking forward to every Friday with you.
We had a hell of a party on New Year's Eve. I mean, that was fantastic last night. We got ourselves going with a football game that was just as fun and compelling and exciting and brought you right down to the wire as you could hope for.
And it was really just a great level of football, too. I mean, we saw great quarterback play. That's where it always starts, you know, when you're talking about the NFL, is tremendous quarterback play. I thought it was really creative play calling. I thought Kellen Moore of the Cowboys had a great game, you know, with what he tried to do. There were certainly opportunities for Dallas to win that game. There's no question about it. But, you know, you leave a minute, 24 seconds on the clock for Tom Brady, and he's going to rip your heart out every time.
Brian, if you want to get a short answer out of Kyle Shanahan, ask him a question about his quarterback situation. He is done talking to the media about it. He is not having fun exploring the options in which Trey Lance could unseat Garoppolo or what Garoppolo needs to do to prove that he has a chance to hold on to the job, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. As you look at the way that this year sets up, how do you think this plays out, and did we, in a way, get a hint of what's to come in the final preseason game with the two quarterback rotation, or do you think he was just giving Dan Campbell more to think about than he wants to?
Oh, I always think he was giving Dan Campbell, along with Nick Sirianni, and, you know, a couple of teams that they're going to see here in September, Philadelphia, after Detroit, I think he was giving them all a bunch to think about here. We saw Trey Lance play 7 of the first 24 snaps. I don't expect to see that against Detroit, but he also, you know, he's just putting it out there to maybe we will. And of course, you got to follow up, you know, as a responsible reporter and follow up those kind of questions. And so, you know, he kind of opened it up himself, but we saw the potential. I think this is Jimmy's job throughout, but I think Trey Lance is going to be a part of it. And I don't know when that's going to be. It could be situation dictated. It might be a game plan situation that could change week to week. But I do feel, and I have said this from the day they drafted him with the 3rd pick, that he's going to be on the field week 1. I don't know in what capacity, but he's just too talented not to have out there in some capacity.
Looking more macro at the 49ers and where they fit in the conference, are there enough teams that can get in their way to make this a difficult slog for them? Because as I look at the conference, I don't see a lot of elite teams. I think we probably saw one last night in Tampa. But after that, I wonder where the 49ers sit sort of in that first group and how big that first group is.
Well, you know, I kind of go back to, I mean, it's a good question. And I go back to something Ron Rivera told me a couple weeks ago. I was doing a Washington-Cincinnati preseason game. I was talking to Ron down the field, and he told me, we were talking about the NFC. He goes, you know, I know, Baldy, that we have good players. I just don't know if we're a good team yet. And so I think that's, you know, that's how Dallas is. I mean, that's how a lot of that's how Washington is. That's probably how the Rams feel right now. Like, they, something is going to happen over the next 4 months. Probably it has to happen within the next 2 months, where teams are going to figure out who they are, and they're going to figure out what they're good at. And at that time, if they are good, then and talented, then they're going to start putting wins together, and they're going to start stacking wins. And that's what all these teams need to do before we can really declare anything. And so I think the NFC is going to be a lot better than maybe what it looks like on paper on September 10th. But it takes the season to go through it. You got to figure it out. You got to figure out your health, your depth, your contributions, where they're going to come from. You know, what type of team you are. You know, can you go finish a game the way Brady did last night with a minute 24 to go? Can you take your team, you know, 55 yards for a game-winning field goal or a touchdown if you have to go win a game? And the good teams do that. They find a way to do that.
I know Javon Kinlaw is a guy you broke down a number of times last year. Obviously, this Niner team, depending on having a really good defensive line, with Kinlaw now officially doubtful, and I guess rumors he might go on IR, if they are without him, how much does that hurt that defensive line and in general, the whole defense? Because that secondary is kind of depending on the defensive line.
Yeah, I mean, it hurts. You know, I guess you could throw DJ Jones in there, or, you know, one of the – Kevin Givens will, you know, step up. But I thought that, you know, when you go back to what they were 2 years ago, I mean, DeForest Buckner was a big part of that whole Super Bowl run. And that's basically who Kinlaw has to replace. And they simply don't have a player. I mean, so then you're saying, okay, well, who's replacing DeForest Buckner 2 years removed? You know, they don't have anybody like that. And so I think it's a big hole, you know, until he can come back and get healthy and, you know, play up to his talent level. But, you know, Arik Armstead can go inside. He can play inside. He can play outside. I think, you know, they like him in base defense to play outside just because he's so good on the edge against the run. But you can certainly play him inside and you can get, you know, some good pass rush from him.
Baldy, I thought that Laken Tomlinson was borderline this team's offensive MVP. It seemed like whoever could get out there and start every game pretty much qualified to be that in such a marred-by-injury season. Laken Tomlinson, Trent Williams, they're going to hold down that left side, and hopefully McGlinchey's got the weight back on him. It's the combination of Alex Mack and Daniel Brunskill that could really be the difference in a 10-win year, a 12-win year. How many games are you going to win in a postseason if that's who you're going to be? I think that Brunskill is at least at his natural position at right guard. How much do you think Alex Mack has left?
I don't know. It's hard to say. You can't really tell from, you know, limited snaps in the preseason. You can't really tell from a really poor team in Atlanta. I know this. I know when Alex Mack is anywhere near his, you know, capabilities, I know his intelligence level and how smart he is and what he could do from a protection standpoint, how he helps out quarterbacks, all that stuff. But his effort is really what always has separated him. His ability to get down the field, get to the second level, just his overall effort is sort of what has separated him, and that's what I'm looking for. Does he have that extra gear that he always had? I mean, he came out of the tunnel sprinting. You know, like, you know, sometimes you could slow down like that when you get to the end. I don't see that yet, but that's kind of some of the telltale signs when they can't sprint out of the tunnel and onto the field and then play like that for 60 or 70 snaps a game.
This is a philosophical question, and maybe, you know, nobody here is qualified to answer it, but do you look at Kyle Shanahan and see a guy who's willing to gamble at any moment just in terms of who he plays, what plays he calls? Or is he a guy who waits for the moment to dictate when he wants to do that?
The question is a good one. I don't know if he can answer it. I think it, the moment dictates it, and it's a feel. Play callers have it. Head coaches have it. You know, I mean, it could be anything from, when you're talking about that type of question, you're talking about everything from an onside kick, a fake punt, all those kind of things. You factor in all the years you've been around the game, his father, you know, places he's coached, and then you go, in the moment, is this worth the gamble right here? And it's part of his DNA, and the DNA kind of tells him when to do it. Now, there's analytics that can help a little bit, that can kind of dictate some of this stuff on Wednesday. And that's how all these coaches are reading these analytics reports on Wednesday. And that could kind of factor in a little bit. But I think ultimately, you know, it's his DNA and his gut that tells you, okay, this is the time to take the shot. Almost like that play that he pulled out when we saw Trey Lance, you know, hit that Trent Sherfield on that play action pass. Like, it was a great call. It was perfect execution, you know, and it was a long, you know, bomb, and it was really well done and played, and we all enjoyed it. It was a big moment for Trey Lance, and you know, you're not going to do that every play, but you're gonna know when that moment is, and I think, you know, you have to trust Kyle to know that moment.
Baldy, great to catch up. Have a fun week one, and we'll do it again next Friday.
You got it, Damon. Look forward to it, guys.
We'll have some actual results, not just speculation, come next Friday. That'd be nice. We'll have them all on Monday, actually. That's when our results are really coming in from the first weekend of football. By the way, if you miss anything we do on the game, download that Odyssey app powered by DuckDuckGo, privacy simplified, and be listening to the Morning Roast weekdays from 7 to 8 a.m. Be the third caller for a chance to win a 4-pack, 2-day, 1-park-per-day ticket to the Disneyland Resort. Now, through Halloween, be listening to our morning show each and every morning. You're doing that anyways, but pay close attention between 7 and 8 a.m. for all the details that you could possibly need. Go to 957thegame.com. Damon Ratto and Kolsky here on 957 The Game. Rich Eisen joins us soon.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Damon Ratto and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
So it's football season. You're going to be looking for sports betting content. Check out the BetQL Network, available now on the Odyssey app. Great tips for the people who take it real seriously and the people who are just going to have a little bit of fun with it. To me, if you're putting money on the line, you take it seriously. So go get advice. The experts are weighing in on BetQL Network, streaming now on Odyssey. Welcome back, Damon Ratto and Kolsky. Someone on the text line asked a very good question, saying, did Brian Baldinger get a new phone? The answer to that question is maybe he did. What we were just talking to him on definitely wasn't a phone, though. That was some sort of via technology that goes a step further than just a telephone. ISDN line, Comrex box, and if you wanted me to come up with a third option, I couldn't even pretend to be able to do that. So, yeah, whatever that was, it sounded like Brian Baldinger was sitting right here. I liked it. More of that. Let's do that.
I kind of liked when the phones fail and we have to call them back 2 times.
You love a choppy interview.
I do indeed. I love it. I love a choppy life.
Explain that.
Yeah, now it's all into focus. Now I get it all. hey, we got so much football today. It's a football Friday, baby, and I'll prove it once again.
Maximum football!
But while this season is just about to get underway, we have a baseball season that isn't too far away from winding down. And with a win today at Wrigley Field in a game that was a bullpen game against Kyle Hendricks, the only good bullet the Cubs can shoot at you in terms of a starting pitcher, the bullpen more than got its job done today, allowing just 1 run and 2 hits. And the San Francisco Giants have now got a 5-game winning streak. And because the Doyers lost 2 in a row, this lead is back up to 3 in the division. That beautiful 3-game lead that you were worried about when the Dodgers came to town, that they just can't go taking full games off you at any point in time because you're not going to play the Dodgers again this year. Man, the Giants continue to sit pretty after a win today. Evan Longoria, hello.
That ball is smoked high and deep to left field, and there it goes to the top of the bleachers. Evan Longoria has put the Giants ahead with a 2-run big fly.
Yes, indeed, John Miller, CSN Bay Area. Evan Longoria with a yacker. Lamont Wade Jr. had an RBI single to get the game tied up at one when the Cubs took an early lead. And then Brandon Belt did this today.
Now Belt, there's a drive to left field. Way back there. It's into the basket. A home run for Brandon Belt. At Wrigley Field, you don't necessarily have to hit it over the wall. You just have to hit it over the front lip of the basket, which is 12 feet above the ground. And Belt just did that.
Brandon Belt's 22nd home run of the year? Come on now. I didn't know he had that in him. I swear to God, I didn't think he would have it this year. But there it is, Brandon Belt. And that is why he is wearing the captain's C. What? Okay, so let me explain. Today, Evan Longoria goes up to Brandon Belt either in the clubhouse or the dugout, and he's got electrical tape with him. And he puts a C on Brandon Belt's jersey. And just thinking that it was like, what, a little bit of a joke, whatever, Longoria explained afterwards what he was doing.
It was a bit of an inside joke. We were just talking on the plane and the bus yesterday, and he kind of self-proclaimed himself the captain of the team. So when I came in today, I just had the idea of putting it on his shirt. He went out there and wore it.
I mean, that's pretty funny. It's nice when you can tell a joke among multimillionaires, because that joke is probably going to cost somebody $5,000 to $10,000. That is what we like to call a uniform violation. If players were able to just decorate their uniforms however they wanted, players, some of them would look like NASCARs. So Brandon Belt has this C on his jersey that looks like it's sort of dangling on, peeling off. It is electrical tape. I mean, it looks like a four-year-old did it. But, you know, you don't mess with a streak, Ray. And he went 2-for-3 today with two runs, the two RBIs, two walks. Brandon Belt had a really nice day. So pay the fine, don't take it off.
Well, it sounds like the equipment guy will be called into action to embroider a C onto the uniform if, in fact, the league is going to ask for money. Because while Evan Longoria or Brandon Belt or whoever gets fined for this can take a joke for one day, the second day it starts to become an irritant. So I have a feeling that the electrical tape will be retired in place of an actual letter.
Are we sure it's a uniform violation?
We're not. But if it is, I think that's when... If it's not a uniform violation, the electrical tape will stay. Because you don't screw with electrical tape.
Or a streak.
But if it is, this was a one-day deal, and tomorrow the C will be a more professional-looking attachment.
Yeah, I mean, Damon, I see what you're saying, and yes... You would think it's a uniform violation, but what if it's not? Then Brandon Belt has just signed up to wear a ridiculous-looking electrical tape captaincy for as long as it takes him to stop hitting well.
Yeah.
You can't take until he takes an offer, basically.
Yeah, you cannot take that off. You can't. I don't care how much it costs. I don't care who it. And Major League Baseball gets upset about it. You got to ride the wave, man. You really do. So we will. We'll monitor not only the results of the San Francisco Giants as the season continues. We now are on official. It's Uni Watch. Somebody call Paul Lucas. We got a uniform watch going on. Grandy Maldonado with a follow up. What do you got?
I have something to add here about player uniforms and rules in MLB. Rule 3.03F, no player shall attach to his uniform tape or other material of different color from his uniform.
Oh, so they might have had a little, you know, Giants orange and black. They can get away with it.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they'd have to put orange trim around it. They're going to have to get a nut. They're going to have to go to the hardware store.
So I do know this. If you go into a major league clubhouse, like the last sign that you see as you exit the clubhouse, unless it's some sort of team motto or whatever, is usually a code of uniform. Like, you need to be wearing this. Make sure your jersey's that. Make sure your socks are this. Make sure it is this. Everyone is, you know, dress right, dress the whole way through. So Major League Baseball, of all the sports, has the lousiest sense of humor about anything that might even suggest, like, wasn't that fun?
Well, In fairness, though, if the electrical tape has not been approved by Major League Baseball as an official uniform accoutrement, I can see where they'd be really bitter about it.
There is definitely a lawyer in Manhattan, like going over fine print right now.
No question. In fact, I can almost assure you that as soon as they saw that on one of their feeds, somebody was typing a letter.
Get Rob Manfred on the phone as fast as possible. We have a major controversy going on at Wrigley Field right now.
Oh, this would not rise to the level of Manfred.
I don't know. He's a lawyer. He's pretty petty.
He's a lawyer, but they have tons of lawyers there. This is one they farm out to the lawyer who works in the night janitor's office.
What is odd, though, is we now have officially, we do have some baseball teams who slap a captain's C like it was a hockey sweater on the jersey. So maybe that it is just something. I mean, maybe you can remember to baseball before my days, Ray, but was that ever a thing in baseball before the last year or two?
Before the last year or two, yes, but not a universal thing. In fact, most teams didn't do that. But I think in this case, I mean, it clearly started as a joke. It's remained a joke, and now we'll see if it's an expensive joke. But as a 30 years ago, no. You just sort of knew who the captain was based on A, batting average, and B, contract size. Like Kirby Puckett never wore a C, but he was the captain of the Minnesota Twins.
Yeah, Derek
Jeter.
And
did not have to have a team meeting to determine that.
Derek Jeter never had a C, and his name was the captain.
Yeah. I mean, it's...
Maybe that's why he didn't need the C. It was his name.
That's right. You just take out the ID, clubhouse badge. You're the captain now. And now we got a little... What was it? Captain... What was the name of that movie?
Phillips.
Thank you. Well done. So the Giants are now at 91 wins. They're 9 wins away, not a math major, but I'm going to do it right here now, live and on the air, 9 wins away from a 100-win season. Come on. They're 7-3 now in their last 10. They've won 5 in a row, and the Dodgers lost 2 in a row, 3 games up on Los Angeles. A little update for you around the dial, and this is an update that is listed September 10th, which being that today is September 10th, makes it as current as humanly possible. If you're up in Sacramento and you're going to go to the minor league game tonight, you're going to get a major leaguer in that lineup. Alex Dickerson is going to start a rehab assignment with AAA Sacramento tonight. Wilmer Flores running bases back at 24 Willie Mays Plaza today. He is soon to return and will continue full baseball activity. And when the team comes back from Chicago, watch him get right into that lineup. Austin Slater, the Giants say, progressing very well, will participate in baseball activities. He is with the team. Slater, did he get an at-bat today? Was he in there? No, he was not. Donovan Solano continuing to feel well. We know that he is coming out of COVID. Alex Wood, he is out of quarantine. He started light throwing yesterday at the ballpark here in the city and will continue to ramp up as tolerated is the official language from the team today. He will continue to ramp up as tolerated. Does that mean him tolerating the actual workload or them tolerating him?
You know how I want to answer that, right?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. So, no, it's... I think it's more pain tolerance than anything else.
I think so, too.
But I really wish it was, as long as we can stomach looking at you.
Yeah, something tells me that's not the approach they're taking with a potential playoff starting pitcher. But you never know. This team is weird.
It's been a weird year for an awful lot of ways. Good ways and bad ways. There's no doubt around Major League Baseball. One of the other things that we just got to get into today, because it's a football Friday, lots of NFL. We got Cam Newton saying the quiet part out loud. We got reasons why this year is set up to be as fascinating as humanly possible. And we have the fact that the Lions completely suck, meaning the entire world likes the 49ers an awful lot on week one. Does that mean you should start to rethink that? We have all of that coming up in our friend Rich Eisen joins us in about 15 minutes here on 95.7 The Game. But we got to go back to a story that was sort of uncovered late in yesterday's show. Hunter Renfro, not Los Angeles Raiders Hunter Renfro, F-R-O-W. This is F-R-O-E. He is a Boston Red Sox outfielder. And yesterday, he basically said Major League Baseball asked, Do we still have it on the board here? Where is it? Bottom right. There it is.
We're going through a lot of stuff with COVID, and MLB's basically told us to stop testing and just treat the symptoms. But we're like, no, we're going to figure out what's going on and try to keep this thing under control. But other than that, I think that our staff, like I said, are doing an incredible job keeping guys on the field.
So MLB asked you to stop testing?
Yes.
And just sort of try to play on, move on, and don't worry about it?
Yeah.
So Hunter Renfroe asked a very direct question on EEI yesterday in Boston. Did Major League Baseball ask the Boston Red Sox to stop testing? He says, yes. Yes? And then he confirmed, double time, yes. So today Major League Baseball and the Boston Red Sox have refuted Hunter Renfroe's comments. We have been following MLB's COVID-19 protocols all season long. Quote, the team has said in a statement, we have consulted closely with them on everything we've done and continue to test, and their medical staff has been very supportive. As of Thursday, 9 people with the team have tested positive for the virus. 11 others are sidelined due to symptoms or close contact with positive cases. The Red Sox are one of those teams that are under the 85% vaccination threshold in their clubhouse, and some of the players who tested positive are also vaccinated. We do know that there are breakthrough cases in that. But boy, baseball didn't wait any time. Not even when we were, I think we just got off the air and I saw that John Heyman was the first saying that Major League Baseball says that this is false, that Hunter Renfroe has the wrong information. And I like John Heyman, but I also know that Major League Baseball uses John Heyman to get out its agendas at times, and he is cooperative, you know, with Major League Baseball. I'm not questioning the man's integrity at all, but he has been used as a voice of baseball's official business office in the past. And I'll say that baseball has done a very good job mitigating and dealing with COVID-19 all summer long. And for them to have just said, Boston Red Sox just punt on everything, it was a shocking statement by Renfroe, and it seems like baseball has run to the microphone and social media to say this is not correct.
Well, my general rule is the veracity of a story can at least in part be discredited by the speed at which the accused party comes up with a rebuttal. I don't know if that's the case here. I'd like to know what Hunter Renfroe's position is on vaccinations in general, which we don't know. I'd like to know how, if he misconstrued this, how he misconstrued this. And if he didn't misconstrue it, I'd like to know who it was in the Major League office that said what Renfroe claimed was said, that the Red Sox were told to stop testing. Because that's a hard one to screw up or misunderstand.
Yeah, that's why this is not sufficient for me to just take baseball at their word. Someone's going to have to explain to me how a person with an IQ above room temperature misunderstood that. Because that doesn't track for me. Like, Hunter Renfroe, like you said at the beginning, Damon, there was no room for a misunderstanding here. There was no space for, well, he misspoke on the air. He didn't say what he meant. He said exactly what he meant.
And then doubled down.
And then he was asked, is this what you mean? And he said, yes. He didn't even say anything other than yes. Like, he said what he said, and he clearly thought that for some reason. So just like, nah, he just misunderstood. Everything's cool over here. That's not going to do it for me. Someone's going to have to explain it. And as Ray was sort of alluding to, my instincts tell me that the most likely thing that happened here is somebody at Major League Baseball did suggest maybe just cool it on the testing for a while. The question is, who did it and how high up were they and whose authorization did they have?
Well, the other question I have is, who told Renfroe if he didn't hear that firsthand? Was it somebody else in the clubhouse, which makes sense?
Right.
You know, I mean, there are a lot of ways that this thing branches out. And given the fact that this is such a hot button issue for way too many athletes, it raises way more questions than, frankly, can be answered right now. And I'm at the point where I'm not taking anybody's word for anything.
My question, if I had one follow-up for Hunter Renfrow, would be, were you acting as someone who was trying to protect your clubhouse's safety because you didn't think your clubhouse was doing enough itself? Because this is information that normally, true or false, no player would want to be in front of. This is the opposite of the kind of sports talk that a player on EEI has with a couple of hosts about, hey, let's talk about the week of the Red Sox. Like, the fact that this went there and it felt like he felt compelled to pull the ripcord on a parachute because he thought the Red Sox were falling in the wrong direction. I mean, I would like to play the sound for you once again.
We're going through a lot of stuff with COVID, and MLB's basically told us to stop testing and just treat the symptoms. But we're like, no, we're going to figure out what's going on and try to keep this thing under control. But other than that, I think that our staff, like I said, are doing an incredible job keeping guys on the field.
So MLB asked you to stop testing?
Yes.
And just sort of try to play on, move on, and don't worry about it?
Yeah.
Yes? Yeah.
Again, I'd like to know who told him this if he didn't hear it firsthand. But it does sound like he's saying Major League Baseball told us to stop testing, and we've decided not to. It sounds like he's got the Red Sox back here and not Major League Baseball's.
Well, of course, Major League Baseball is going to run the Red Sox are going to rush to defend Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
And again, that was their statement. We have been following baseball's COVID-19 protocols all season. We've consulted closely with them on everything we've done and continue to test, and their medical staff has been very supportive. I'm guessing he's saying Major League Baseball's overall medical staff.
Yeah, and I don't doubt that either. Like, that's very conveniently doesn't really respond to quite what Hunter Renfrow said. You know, oh no, we followed the protocol, and they have great medical experts over there. Okay, but did somebody tell you to stop testing? Because that's the question. And, you know, everyone is, since Hunter Renfrow, trying to maintain plausible deniability here, but I think it might be a situation where you'd be better served just coming clean.
You'd think, but coming clean means, you know, now you've unraveled one more thread, and the more threads you unravel, all of a sudden you don't have a cloth anymore. You have a pile of threads.
Well,
so what I'm guessing they want to do is have him shut the hell up.
Yeah, and certainly Red Sox ownership, if no one else there, clearly understands the kind of damage that this sort of story could do to everybody.
It's terrible PR, especially in just the last 24 hours, where we've seen the president come out, rightfully so, heavy-handed, saying that this just, the insanity's got to stop, misinformation has to stop, people standing in the way of progress needs to stop. And, you know, it's one thing for the adults to kick around this topic. When children start to drop dead, if that doesn't get your attention, what possibly will? And that is sort of the direction we might be headed in. And on that note, look, we don't want to get stuck on this today. We're not going to be stuck on this today, but I do feel compelled to share with you one piece of information as we move to a moment in time that tomorrow we'll celebrate what was the single most tragic day in terms of modern continental United States history, the 20th anniversary of 9/11. The only good thing that really came out of that is that everyone decided that there was no political party. It was just about coming together to heal and support, and it was as singularly a United States as we probably had since that moment. I mean, there was one thing we all agree on, and that was painful, and that we can help each other heal. It was a staggering moment in time. And having said all that, more Americans have died of COVID-19 in the last 48 hours, 3,696, than died on 9/11. So that's what we're dealing with. Every 2 days, we get a 9/11 death total. A 9/11 death total on 9/11 brought us all to our screeching halt. And if you had asked anyone, hey, just take this vaccine and we'll never be attacked by a terrorist ever again, everyone would have gotten in line to do that. Now the terrorist is invisible. But there are people fighting for the terrorist to win daily with misinformation and nonsense that has to go away. So take care of yourself. Get vaccinated. Encourage anyone you know who is not vaccinated to do so. Every credible doctor on the planet suggests you do. There is no tyranny in saying you have to be vaccinated. The amount of vaccinations you need at any point in time to send your child to school are you basically there's more than it's a double digit level of mandatory vaccinations for mumps, rubella, all the goofy stuff that you don't even talk about because vaccinations have stamped it out of our society. So let's do that. We're going to have Rich Eisen join us next year on 95.7 The Game, and we are looking forward to that. Damon Ratto and Kolsky here on 95.7 The Game, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full-service banking, no compromises.
Damon Ratto and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
It's great to have you here today, and it's great to welcome in Rich Eisen, who is NFL Network down to the socks. And when Ray Ratto texted him, "Were you doing anything today, Rich?" He was nice enough to say, "Yeah, we'll do something with you guys." Thank you very much, Rich Eisen. How are you, sir?
I'm fine. How's everybody on this fine Friday?
Hey, we're great, and that's because it's football season once again. Whether or not we can watch Jimmy Garoppolo hold off Trey Lance is going to be a huge topic all season long in San Francisco. The first football topic is kind of where we left off last season. How much longer can Tom Brady just give the Heisman to Father Time? He seems to be ageless, and that was a spectacular game to kick off the year.
Yeah, I mean, there's not even a hint of a whiff of a diminishing return. And it's amazing. It truly is a testament to his year-round commitment to whatever he's doing and to keep in shape and keep mentally sharp and keep finding whatever he needs to motivate himself to, you know, not eat sugar or get into bad habits on the football field with his footwork or whatever. It is something we'll never see again. I mean, we'll never see again. And, you know, I mentioned on my show today what kind of struck me last night, too, that can kind of keep him going in his competitive spirit. You know, when he's hugging Drew Brees before Drew does his first assignment in a regular season game for the media. You know, it's just the latest line of somebody who's been put in the same sentence of GOAT with him or a competitor of his or somebody who's either vanquished him or he's vanquished that he could sit there and go, you know, hey, have a great broadcast, and he's standing there in his uniform still. And he's the one running out there and then going ahead and beating another young buck coming for his throne. The last two quarterbacks that he has consoled on that turf after beating them are Dak Prescott, despite throwing for 400 yards, and Patrick Mahomes, despite him being one of the most talented, physically gifted young quarterbacks the league's ever seen. And I think he draws inspiration and just think maybe that's the stuff he thinks about in June, in May, when he's staring at that cookie, thinking, why not, you know? I mean, I don't know what it is, but it's something we'll never see again.
Toward that end, do you think that he retires of his own volition, or he has to be pushed out because he just likes the game and being around other players as much as he seems to?
Well, maybe the people would push him out, or his family members, maybe. I don't know, Ray. I mean, that's the great mystery is he's not only, you know, as you were saying, Damon, you know, flouting or Heismaning Father Time. He's just rewriting the books on how somebody scripts their own career ending. And I think that has gotten into the temples of a lot of other quarterbacks in the league. Aaron Rodgers, most famously, Russell Wilson talking about his protection after winning the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award, which is, you know, out without question the most coveted award that any player can get, and that, I do believe, includes the MVP. He wins that, and he's then sitting next to the commissioner watching Brady win, and then 2 days later he's on my buddy Dan Patrick's show saying, yeah, I'm not being protected as well. And I think that all comes from Brady showing, yeah, like, I'm 43 and I'm going to figure out a way, or 42, I'll figure out a way to leave the next year. And then he leaves and wins a Super Bowl with his new team that falls all over themselves to reconfigure their roster and way of doing things for him. And he's re-scripting the way that people end their careers. So you gave two options that are the usual, which is somebody forcing him out because his skill set doesn't match his desire to play anymore or be around the guys, and or he just taps out. Like, that's enough. Like Elway, Strahan, Lewis, Jerome Bettis, you know, after winning it all. And even if he wins it again this year and he's a 44-year-old guy who's now done something that nobody else has done, and I'm not just saying as a 44-year-old who went back-to-back, but somebody to win back-to-back in his career two different times with two different teams in two different decades, he could be the first to go back-to-back-to-back. And the team is young and wants to play together and with them and for Arians, and I don't see that changing. So I don't have an answer to your question. There could be a choice C, Ray.
We here have obviously spent an awful lot of time talking about Trey Lance, and I think for good reason. But if you had to bet today, which of the five quarterbacks who went, you know, in the top 20 or whatever it was, do you think is going to have the biggest positive impact this season?
This season? I'm sorry, I lost you. What'd you say?
Oh, yeah. This season, which of those five guys do you see contributing the most to winning, sort of?
Well, I mean, Mac Jones is the one in a place where the coaching staff has been running the same system for two decades and had a whole free agent spending spree with a bunch of guys that are playing together for the first time. And he hasn't played in the NFL before, but he's played in a spot that's as closest to the NFL as you can get, and that's Nick Saban's Alabama. So you put that all together, and Mac Jones is set up for success, obviously, if he has the ability to absorb and what's being thrown at him in the film room and then pre-snap and then post-snap. But he's got a coaching staff that can prepare somebody. But Trey Lance, if he gets in there, I mean, this team is totally locked and loaded if they are healthy, and they appear to be so. They've got so many physical ball carriers on this team, from the tight end to the wide receivers to the running backs. And if Trey Lance can add himself to that mix, it adds an incredible wrinkle and dimension for a coach who knows exactly how to add more with those wrinkles and dimensions. And so Garoppolo can start. I wouldn't be surprised if you see Lance in the red zone quite a bit, and or, you know, on third and must-haves potentially, and short yardage, regardless of where they are on the field. You might see that. And then at some point, you know, and I don't think anybody's going to get really much of a heads-up or an indication, because as Kyle Shanahan likes to say, he'll do it when he darn well pleases, and he'll let you know whenever he wants. One week, I think, you know, out of the blue, we'll just hear Lance is starting. Like, okay. And you might see a situation similar to the last time San Francisco made such a switch in the middle of the season that my boy Jim made with Kaepernick. And you can see somebody who's got the run and the pass with a dynamic offense around him and the ball carriers who can carry it out. That is, you hit the jackpot. And if Bose is healthy and the rest of that defense is healthy, I mean, you've got a Super Bowl contender on the spot.
Richard.
So I don't know what's going to happen, but that's my long-winded answer. There's Zach Wilson as well, who people are kind of not thinking about because the Jets stunk on ice. It's an exciting group of rookie quarterbacks, for sure.
Rich Eisen with us on 95.7 The Game. The old saying being two quarterbacks means you don't have one. Well, we sort of saw Sean Payton and the Saints, you know, give us a little Taysom Hill taste, and that did in many ways work. It feels like Kyle Shanahan is perfectly positioned to be maybe the first guy to really figure it out, if that's what it's going to be. We were debating, his offensive genius status the other day. And normally it's an angry, bitter Raider fan who'd say, you're confirming offensive genius status on Kyle Shanahan way too early. You talk to every single person involved in the league. Are we going too far to say that Kyle Shanahan has that badge?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. And anybody who's in the league will tell you how widely respected he is. And in order for somebody to try a two-quarterback, lack of a better phrase, system, you need to have a coach who has full free reign and isn't worried about losing his gig because he's that good and the front office and ownership has that much faith in him. And I think that's the reason why Sean Payton can say, you know, we're going to try Taysom Hill when Drew Brees is out, and even though he got Jameis Winston, and we'll actually take Drew Brees, you know, Mr. Record Book, out and put Taysom Hill in every now and then. And that's the way you can do it because Sean Payton is tenured in New Orleans and Kyle Shanahan has that opportunity here. And I think it would be derelict if Trey Lance doesn't get on the field. Honestly, I mean, you saw in their final preseason game that Lance played it. You saw for the first, like, you could see the difference between the vanilla stuff that's being run in the preseason, and then they start showing you stuff that looks a little more, the phrase that pays in the NFL, exotic. You know, you saw the touchdown run that Lance had in his preseason game. And you look at it and go, wow, okay, now I get it. And not a lot of people have seen it yet. Or think that the kid hasn't played a competitive football game that counts in over a year plus, and he's not ready for it. I, as you know, thought they were going to take Lance all along. I heard they loved him pretty much from jump, and needed to confirm it. And I think, you know, that's going to prove out by seeing him on the field. And, you know, at one point they'll bring him in, a big situation, and the kid might fumble it, or he might not perform very well. And you'll hear, well, two quarterbacks equals none. But Kyle Shanahan will just go back to the drawing board and he'll keep doing it because he's got tenure and Lance is that good.
Looking at the West, it feels like everyone likes the Rams. A lot of people are interested in a healthy 49ers team. And the Seahawks are to be respected at all times. What chances would you give the Arizona Cardinals to crash this party?
A lot. I mean, Kyle Murray in year three, he took a tremendous leap from year one to year two. A.J. Green is kind of the acquisition that everybody is truly sleeping on because we're all staring at Julio Jones in Tennessee and, oh, my gosh, this and that. Green's been hurt quite a bit. I don't know how many times he was thinking last year, like, yeah, I'm not going to, you know, come out and put myself on the field when I can get myself to another team next year and Joe Burrow ain't here. You know, I'm not going to be some sort of a sacrificial lamb for Jeff Driscoll, who might not have been the quarterback. I just threw his name out there because it sounded very Cincinnati. You know, so I think Christian Kirk, along with, you know, Kyler Murray and J.J. Watt being added to a Chandler Jones line, let's see what they can do. I wouldn't discount them for making some nice run. I'm on the Stafford train and bandwagon, man. And you know what really confirmed it for me too is that Kyle Shanahan was grinding tape on him. That could have been the plan A this 2021 calendar year for the future for San Francisco. And obviously Garoppolo wouldn't be on the team if that had happened. But I think that might have been the plan A, and that's all you need to know. I mean, in the same way that you're wondering, yeah, well, Kyle Shanahan, what? Some people are like, what's he done to deserve guru status? Well, a lot of people in the league know what he can do and respect it. And it's the same thing with Stafford. You know, just because he didn't change the culture with W's in Detroit is not all his fault. And I think he, with the Rams, if healthy, again, I got to keep on giving that caveat, along with Donald up front and Jalen Ramsey in the back, I think you're going to see Sunday night the Bears wonder just how fast Justin Fields could be brought up to speed, potentially.
This is Rich Eisen, National Hockey League expert.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You talked up the Cardinals. You talked up the Rams. You talked up the 49ers and Seahawks. That doesn't leave a lot of room left for the rest of the conference. Who do you inherently like? Who do you think is a legitimate sleeper? And are there enough of those to get a wild card spot?
Well, in terms of liking, I predicted the Bucks to win the Super Bowl again, and last night was the reason why. I mean, sure, they have a defensive deficiency on the outside. I think they'll figure that thing out. They shut down that run last night. Vita Vea is a grown man, and that front seven is stout. And Brady is now, I mean, last year they go 7-5 to start, and I had Arians on my show, and I asked him, when is Brady going to be comfortable in this offense, fully comfortable in this offense, do you think? And he said, next spring. And then they won the Super Bowl. And now it's the next fall. And now Brady is there, and everything is officially routinized. Last year it was the first time for everything, and he's feeling out and living in Tampa and, you know, finding his commute, getting a home. Now everything is routinized. And the entire offense has been assimilated and downloaded, and everybody came back. And they didn't lose anybody from the staff. So that's why I think that. In terms of a sleeper, I don't know if there's a legitimate one. The two teams that I've identified for that are Carolina, potentially, to make a nice run, but not to win the division. And the Giants have a shot. Saquon could be a total sleeper right now, where he's limited, he's got to clear one more hurdle. And then they bust him out against Denver, and he looks like he's at Penn State again, which is entirely possible. And that line, though, has got to protect Daniel Jones, who's got to come up with more consistent play and not turn it over. And they've got weapons. They went and got the number one free agent receiver in Galladay. They drafted this kid, Tony, out of Florida, who's supposed to be fast and quick and a matchup nightmare. And, you know, they got Sterling Shepard, and the defense last year started balling out. And I think they've bought what Joe Judge is selling. So that could be a sleeper right there. And obviously Green Bay is the team that could put it all together in a way that I just mentioned for the Bucks, and dethrone. So that's the way I kind of see that whole conference.
As a consummate radio professional, I'm sure Rich will understand that we have to welcome everyone to the 4 o'clock hour.
Yes.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.